Turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 24. That's where we're going to start this morning. I do welcome each of you. If you're visitors today, we're thrilled to have you with us. This is going to be a different sermon than normally I preach. It's a topical sermon, and we'll be moving around a bit. But we're thrilled to have you with us. Those online, we welcome you as well, and we're thankful to have this moment with you. Thanks for those that led us in music. It was beautiful, and we appreciate your effort there. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 24. Great verse. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Loving Father, we thank you for all you've done for us and continue to do. You certainly are amazing. And we cannot begin to express to you as we need to or as we would like to how thankful we are. And you are worthy of our adoration, of our praise. We just want to say thankful for being faithful in this past year. And as we come to you today, we are in need. We're in great need. We're broken, and all of us are broken in some way. But we thank you we can gather and worship and give to you our praise and look into the Word and have you, through your Word and your Spirit, speak to us. Father, we have it. You've been so good, and we want to thank you for that. I pray for those today that are before you right now. May you minister powerfully with them and to them and in them through your Spirit and your Word. Help us, Father, as we go forward in this coming year. We pray it would be all that it needs to be, and that we would be what we need to be for your glory. We pray in Christ's name, amen. You guys, this is the last Sunday of 2020. And all God's people said. Pastor Wes mentioned that in Sunday school, and I said something like, yahoo, or something like that. Well, it's had its downs and downs and downs and downs, right? But God has had a plan in all of it, and we will remember that. Some things I want to thank the Lord for in 2020. People were saved in 2020. You know that? People got saved in 2020, made a decision to trust Christ as Savior. That's, hey, we praise him for that. And, you know, people grew in the Lord in this past year. I've seen it. It's happened to me by the grace of God. The resolve of believers to stand firm for Christ no matter what grew. It did. I believe all of us were stretched in this past year like never before. Would you agree with that? It was quite a year, wasn't it? This drove us to consider what we really believed and what is most essential. These are a few of the benefits of going through something like we've gone through in this past year. I've noted in my Christian life, I've noted it for years, and it would be true of all believers, that when we go through the fire, those are times when we really lean on the Lord, when his word is more precious than ever, and I believe we grow, and I praise God for that. It's been a challenging year. It's been the most challenging year I've ever faced. I think that would be true of you guys as well. As a pastor, it was something to think through, and I think that's true of most pastors. There were a lot of ups and downs. But through it all, we found God to be faithful. We're about to step into history, step into a new year, and hopefully make a strong impression on that historical, when history is read, for the glory of the Lord. 2020 has had its moments of fear, moments of trepidation. It's also been exciting to me to see how God worked things out. That's been great. I want to encourage you, I want to encourage this congregation as we look forward to the new year, and I want to commend you as well for sticking with the Lord, for sticking it out in this ministry and for his name. God has given us every reason to live a courageous, hope-filled life in this coming year. Some may think our darkest days are ahead of us, but I am not one of them. History's unfolding before us. We are players in it. We are. And God has given us an opportunity to make a difference for his name, to do his bidding. I thank God to be alive at this point in history. I'm really thankful for that. And he's planted us here for a purpose. So I'm looking forward to this next year. I'm praying that God will give us all a fresh fire to live for his glory, to make a difference in the year 2021. Today I want to talk to you about some unchangeable realities for the next year. Some unchangeable realities for this next year. There are four of them. There are many, but there are four that I want to speak of and discuss with you this morning. The first is God will be faithful. We'll find that to be true in 2021. Injustices will continue. That's really going to be the only downer, okay, in this message. We'll talk about that a bit. Christ's return inches closer, 2021. And then finally, believers remain triumphant. First, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, great verse. It's always been an encouragement to me. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. God's faithfulness is simply amazing. He is faithful all the time. We trust him because in his faithfulness, he speaks truth and is worthy of our trust. We ourselves walk by faith, if you remember that. We are walking by faith, leaning on and trusting in the promises of God made by the one who is faithful forevermore. Now, the life as a follower of Christ is one in which we lean on the promises because he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, that is the story of God dealing with mankind. He has always dealt faithfully and always been faithful. We can trust him. I like what Psalm 91:4 says. He will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. See, he's our stronghold because he's faithful. So God will be faithful. He doesn't sleep, although from our viewpoint it may seem, as we look back on this past year, that things have been falling apart. We trust him, but they were really falling in place. Do you realize that? God has been over all of this. He was all over 2020, and he will be all over 2021. Nothing will happen without him allowing it to happen. So, and with that, you know, even though we've looked at this and we've cried out to him and wondered what's going on, he's only a whisper away. He's right there all the time. Why? Because he's faithful. Our God is faithful. That will not change no matter what comes. And I just want you to realize that this morning. This afternoon, Lord willing, I'm going to take a little nap. I'll take a power nap. Now, I don't want any of you guys doing that this morning. But that's what I'm going to do this afternoon. Why? Because I'm going to have to rest up. Our God never sleeps or slumbers. You're never out of his sight or out of his care. He's always, always, always faithful. He faithfully watches over each of you, each step of the way. He does not sleep, and he will not fail. In this past year, he never failed. And this is his story, the history of the God of heaven in his interaction with mankind. Always, always faithful. Through the challenges of this past year, and there were many, he was faithful to get us through. Often I would hear believers say that, you know, I know he's going to get me through. And you can know that. He will, no matter what comes. He'll get you through. He'll carry our burdens. He'll faithfully give us our daily bread. Did he do that for you last year? You bet he did. He did it the year before, too. He's been doing that for all of eternity. So there were many joys in 2020, and my heart is overwhelmed with thanksgiving to him for them. And there were also lots of tears. Heartbreaking situations that came. But God was there. There's a widow who I visited for nearly a decade after her husband passed. She used to shed a lot of tears. I would go see her. We'd get in conversation. I'm telling you, it wouldn't be long. They just kind of came right out of her. It was like she was full of them. And we would joke about it a bit, and I'd always turn back to Psalm 56:8. You've taken account of my miseries, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not all in your book? That's our God. He sees everything about us. Why? Because he cares and he's faithful. He didn't miss anything in your life last year. There were times you and I didn't think about him. There's never a time he didn't think about us. And he knows your heartaches. He does. He cares. He loves you. He is faithful. Every year he recorded all her tears. And I would tell her, you know, that book, there's going to be a lot up there. There's a big record of those tears. But God is faithful. Through the heartache, through the pain, through our best and worst days, great is his faithfulness. Amen? Great is his faithfulness. The second thing I want to talk to you about this morning is injustices. Injustices will continue. It's been a couple weeks ago on a Monday afternoon into a Monday evening and then partway through Tuesday. I was just kind of overwhelmed with this, struck with it, the injustices that are all around. They are here in our culture. They prevail. There are many. It seems the most powerful in our nation can thumb their noses at the law and are never held accountable for their lawlessness. In this coming year, injustices will come. You can turn there if you want. Psalm 73, I want to read these first five verses to you. It's a great psalm about injustices. I love how he starts. This is just a statement that will never go away. God certainly is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. That's our God. He is good. He's good to the nation of Israel. He's good to you and I. And then comes the quandary, see, for the psalmist. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. And I want to ask the question, well, why? Why did that almost happen? Verse 3, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their belly is fat. That was a great compliment back in the day. That meant they were doing well, doing really, really well. Verse 5, they are not in trouble like other people, nor are they tormented together with the rest of mankind. He said, I looked at the wicked and the arrogant, and I was envious. See, he was seeing the same kind of things we see. The wickedness seemingly prevails. The thing that perplexed the writer was that sentiment of quandary was what was being played out before him. These wicked were prospering while the righteous were struggling. You guys you've never seen that, right? You've never had to deal with this. Why even strive to live for God if this is the way it's going to be? They die easy, they're healthy. It seems like there's no accountability for them. They get away with it. But God will have the last word. I don't have time to go through this whole psalm. But the next verse is kind of midway in the psalm, and he's going on. This is kind of what he's going through. He's thinking about, I can't believe this is, you know, I'm seeing this happen. Why is God allowing this? And the wicked are just, this evil abounds. And those guys, I mean, they're doing okay. They've got all the boats and the cars and the biggest homes. They're doing all right. And then verse 17, until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Big picture. He finally gets it. Oh, it's not. He sees the parade going before him. He sees it right there, but he's not seeing the whole thing. And then he says, until I entered the sanctuary of God, he got truth. His perspective changed. God will have the last word. Justice is not on our timetable, and we often don't see it on this side of eternity. This is how he finishes the psalm. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is good for me. I have made the Lord my refuge so that I may tell of all your works. God will have the last word. He saw it when he came to the sanctuary. He considered, he perceived their end. God is going to make all things right. We can tend to be discouraged or in some cases envious of the wicked. But keep in mind, every man will stand before God. Romans 14:12 tells us that. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. As long as I've been alive on this earth and I've been able to perceive what's going on around me, this has been the case. Wickedness continues. It's going to be the case for 2021. Don't be surprised by it, and don't let it discourage you. This is life on this side of heaven. God will have the last word, though. He will. He will. He'll have the last word. Man cannot, he can bury things here, he can escape justice here, he can seemingly get away with murder here, but the day of reckoning's coming. The one who sees with perfect vision, who knows all things, who understands all things, who cannot be swayed in any way, will deliver perfect justice. 2021, we will see that. Don't be surprised when it happens. That's a reality that's unchangeable for 2021. Here's another one. Christ's return inches closer. Christ's return inches closer. We live for this. We look forward to this. John 14:3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you also will be. We're on the clock, you guys. We're on the clock. This is a good thing. One of these days we'll meet Jesus. We sing about him now. Though we have not seen him, we love him. Though we do not see him now, but believe in him, we greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. We'll one day see him. One day, he's going to step out of heaven to gather his bride, the church, to himself. The rapture of the church will one day be history. Do you realize that? It'll one day be history. Long, long ago, God made the first promise of the Messiah, Genesis 3:15. For years and years and years, seems to me around 4,000 years from the first promise until, guess who showed up in Bethlehem of Judea? Jesus. It was a long time. But God kept his promise. I'm sure God's people keep wondering when he's coming. Why not today? God kept his promise about Jesus the Messiah. In his faithfulness, he will keep his words. We are roughly 2,000 years since the promise of his coming. And we may be wondering, is it ever going to happen, right? It's got to happen now, right? Well, I can assure you, based on the word of God, that one day this event will transpire. It will transpire. We look back at the birth of Jesus and look forward to his return. But one day, do you realize this? One day we'll be looking back at both of those events. Praise God. We're on the clock. We need to do everything we can while we can for the glory of the Lord. There's an urgency to those around you who needs Christ. As you interact with them, there's an urgency to the gospel. His return is imminent. That is, it can happen in the next moment, and it is the next big event on God's timetable of redemption. In this next year, we need to be living with the same expectation that every generation since Christ has had. That is, we're looking for him. We're looking for him to return, perhaps today. Perhaps today. The benefit to us in having this perspective is one of urgency with the gospel and a desire to live holy lives for him. That's one of the benefits. Last week, I encouraged you to be seeking someone, praying about someone, allowing God to put someone on your mind that you can influence toward Christ in this next year. I hope you're praying that way. I hope you're thinking that way. One of the reasons we should be thinking this way is because there's always an urgency for people to be saved, see? It's always there. It's a pastor friend of mine used to say, to delay is dangerous when it comes to the gospel. And I would say, maybe there's someone here today, and you've been, you know, you're understanding the gospel, you understand your need for Christ, that you're a sinner and separated from God, and there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God in and of yourselves. And you're understanding that you need to make a decision to trust Christ. I would urge you on in that decision. Do it today. Don't delay. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have this afternoon. You have this moment. So there's always this urgency. Secondly, the fact of his return being imminent should cause us to seek him, to grow in Christ, and to have his word shape us toward holiness, toward being set apart. On this line, on this thought, 1 John 2:28, now little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not draw back from him in shame at his coming. And everyone who has this hope set on him, what? Purifies himself, just as he is pure. See, part of the thought of one day stepping into the rapture and seeing Christ is I need to be growing in my walk with him, growing in holiness. So his return is imminent, and we look to him. Finally, I want to finish with believers remain triumphant. He's coming. Christ is coming again. It is true that there are going to be injustices that we encounter in this next year. They'll be all around us. It's also true that our God is faithful. But I want to finish with this. Believers remain triumphant. This is out of Romans 8:37. There's many sections of Scripture we could go to. But Romans 8:37, I love this eighth chapter. If you're not familiar with it, you need to be familiar with it. It begins with no condemnation. It ends with no separation. In between, we have this amazing verse. Romans 8:37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. In that chapter, the question is asked, can anything separate us from God? Life, death, principalities, powers, angels, on and on it goes. He makes a statement here that about believers, those in Christ, and all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him, through Christ who loved us. Those in Christ overwhelmingly conquer. We don't often feel this way, right? There are days when I don't feel like I'm a victor with room to spare. There's just days I don't feel that way. I can trust my feelings, right? No. You can't trust your feelings. You can trust the Word of God. What does he say about those who are his? It's amazing here. I want you to know that circumstances are not the determining factor as to whether believers are triumphant. It's not about circumstances. We need to remember that. It's not about our circumstances. If you hang on to that, you're going to go like this in your Christian life. It's going to be a roller coaster from start to finish. It doesn't need to be. But the reason we overwhelmingly conquer rests in the hands of the one to whom we look to in faith. Nothing changes this fact. Overwhelmingly conquer, it takes two words to translate it from the Greek into the English. But it comes from one word in the original. The word is hupernikeo. Huper translates more, like overwhelmingly or more. Nikeo means to conquer, or nikos, to overwhelmingly gain a decisive victory. That's why it's translated here, overwhelmingly conquer. A victor's with room to spare. It's like it's no contest. And you might say, how is this so? How is this so? Well, it's through Christ. The overwhelming victory is ours because we're in him. It's all about a relationship with the living Christ and who we are in him. This relationship comes with some incredible benefits. One of the benefits is that we're overcomers. This pandemic doesn't change or underscore this reality. A governor's directive doesn't change this. Being labeled non-essential or having a business shut down will not change this fact. It doesn't change it. No elected official or anyone else can change this fact. It remains forever. One of the reasons is because he's risen. Amen. A risen Christ is conquered all. You know, if I do a spiritual face plant, I'm still triumphant in him. What if I've got family issues and we're struggling to love, forgive, or be reconciled? What if my marriage is struggling to go forward? Those in Christ, what? Overwhelmingly conquer. The standing I have in Christ is not of my own doing. It rests in the fact that Jesus, our Lord, Christ has overcome. His victory now belongs to us. The grave doesn't have the final say for those in Christ. It simply opens the door for our entry into the greatest day of our lives. Just as Jesus walked away from his grave, so too will we. Death has lost its grip. We are more than conquerors. All of us will one day die, but we will step into glory. You guys have never done this, have you? Played the what if game? What if, you know, what if this happens or that doesn't happen? And what if so-and-so gets into office? And what if war comes? What if an economic disaster strikes? What if I lose my job? What if violence hits our streets? What if our church undergoes great persecution? What about all these? What about my health? What about my ability to provide for my family? Those what ifs, huh? Does this verse say, well, if those things happen, you don't overwhelmingly conquer anymore? It's not what it says. We would do well. We would do well to remember this one thing. Keep it before you as you face the challenges of life and step into the unknown. Let's be clear. Although the future is unknown to us, it is preordained by God. Whatever unfolds in this coming year, we can trust our God with it as we strive to live for him. We're right back here again. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also do it. God has given us every reason to live a courageous, hope-filled life. He has, brother, sister. He has. We can what if this thing to death. We can let those questions overwhelm us and drive us to fear. They don't need to. You know, we can look at the injustices around us and say, does God even care or see it? I love how there's a Christmas carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, how this writer expressed that thought of injustices and wickedness. Verse 3 says, in despair I bowed my head, there's no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Verse 4, then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. God is faithful. God is faithful. And we're going to lean on that in this coming year. I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask these questions of myself, too. I'll read this last wrap-up, and then I'll give you some questions. God has given us every reason to live a courageous, hope-filled life. Every reason to. Every reason to. But I want to ask myself the question, I want to ask you this. Did you live this way in 2020? Did I live this way in 2020? If I didn't, I should have. Why? Because he is faithful. Hope abounds. Our Savior lives. No need to live in fear, because those in Christ are more than conquerors, nor more than victors. Let's pray. Loving Father, I pray you will strengthen our faith, that it would grow stronger and stronger and stronger. As we walk with you, I pray we'll recognize and just hang on to this great thought that you're faithful, always faithful. And that faithfulness translates over to us not only for a place in heaven, but today. I can trust you. I can believe that you're going to move and do great things. I believe the church is going to be built in 2021 and continue to grow and flourish. It'll have its ups and downs. But Father, we can trust you. I can trust you in my own personal life with everything in it. And I pray our faith will increase. I pray you'll grow it. In Christ's name, amen.